from Vision Australia Radio. It's time to open the cellar door and uncork a classic on Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Hello, I'm Michael Hintz, the velvety voice of Vino, with another Heard It Through the Grapevine. We're on Vision Australia Radio, of course, and coming to you nationally through the Community Radio Network. And it's hello from our producer, the redoubtable Mark Redoubt. Looking $1 million today, Mark. I like that new haircut. Today, it's my pleasure to introduce Hugh Villemain, originally from Tours in the Loire, and the Loire, of course, is in France, for those that don't know. Hugh is the export manager for Asia and the Pacific for Champagne Brimel Corps, and that's located at Aix in Champagne, of course. And Hugh has been in Australia for only 5 weeks. Hugh, welcome to Australia. Welcome to Melbourne, Australia's gastronomic capital. And even though you are going to be resident in Sydney, we'll forgive you for that. And welcome to Grapevine.
Very pleased to be here, and I'm very happy to discover this beautiful city of Melbourne. It's quite amazing, people.
So am I. I've been living here for 60 years, and I'm still discovering the place.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, firstly, tell me about Brimoncourt, B-R-I-M-O-N-C-O-U-R-T, Brimoncourt Champagne. A little bit about its history, the location, and what makes it special? So where to start?
So Brimoncourt is based in Aix, which is a small village not far from Épernay in the heart of Champagne. So Brimoncourt has been taken over by Alexandre Corneau. He used to be a former Navy SEALs art dealer.
A Navy SEAL, that's a diver, is it?
That's a diver, exactly.
And then he was a lawyer.
Then he was a lawyer for several years.
Yes.
And then he went to New York to work for Christie's as an art dealer. So he got
That's not Christie's Sandwich Bar, that's the art dealer.
Yes.
Oh, right, yes, good.
Absolutely.
What a mixture. And now he made a lot of money.
I think he just wanted to realize his dream, coming back to where he originally come from, which is Champagne.
He's a Champenois, isn't he?
He's a Champenois, absolutely. Yes. And he just wanted to realize the dream of his life. And I think that's a beautiful dream. It was to really taking over this name that has disappeared for years, Brimoncourt.
Now, is that an easy thing? Because in Champagne, it's full of regulations and rules. You don't just come in and, even if you've got a lot of money, just set up shop and take over a brand, do you?
I think it's... It's definitely a huge challenge to start from scratch a house. Obviously...
We're talking about a champagne house.
Obviously.
Yes.
But I think it's a huge challenge. It's a lot of work, obviously. We have a great team who is working hard every day to produce the best champagne and the best offer to our customers.
So to put it in perspective, you do need deep pockets though, don't you? Because Champagne's one of the most expensive wine regions in the world. I think grape prices, someone was telling me, in the Australian dollar equivalent are anywhere up to $5,000 a tonne. And how much is the real estate there? I've heard $1 million a hectare or $1 million an acre.
We say that it can move between 1 million hectare for a classic piece of land.
Yes.
And it can go until 2 million for the south.
And
for
that's just before you get started with the winery and the marketing and the everything else. So you do need deep pockets.
I mean, that's a huge financial challenge, obviously.
Yes.
And we got massive and so beautiful houses in front of us. But we have a great vision, I think. We offer something completely different in Champagne. And that's why I'm definitely think that Brimoncourt will be one of the greatest houses of Champagne.
Now, where do you say completely different in Champagne? Because most of us Australians drink sparkling wine, and a few of us who can afford to, you know, drink champagne too quickly quite often. But, you know, most Australians would say, oh, listen, mate, all Australian wines, you know, have got bubbles and, you know, it's bubbly. What makes champagne different and what makes your champagne, where's the point of difference? Because to succeed, you're going to have this point of difference, because there are hundreds of producers, aren't there, in Champagne?
Definitely.
Each with their own labels.
I mean, to start with, I think sparkling wine, champagne from Australia are absolutely beautiful. I tasted some from Tasmania, and I'm really impressed by the quality of that.
Oh, you'll get ahead. Very diplomatic.
But no, champagne, what makes it different to name it, to call it champagne, is the méthode traditionnelle. So it's how the champagne is made. Mm-hmm. You got 12 steps to create the champagne. It's very long, until 4 years to create a bottle of champagne.
So it's got to be what they say on lees or lying on its side for a minimum of 4 years before it gets to see the light of day, or is it the minimum of three?
Yes.
Is it? Three
I mean, in fact, officially, you got a minimum of 15 months in Champagne, but Brumoco houses decided to put on lees for 3 years its wines to get something a better and more matured wine, but also keeping
so it's a minimum, I'm wrong, it's a minimum of 15 months.
Exactly.
And then it's up to the particular house
to improve the
quality. How long. So your point of difference is that I've had a look at some of your packaging, and on one of your wines, I think it was the Brut, you have a box and you have a photograph of a giraffe.
Absolutely.
And Mark is falling over backwards here. Giraffe dressed up in a military uniform. And then on your rosé, I believe, you've got a very nice packaging with poppies. And another package is with an outline of some formal gardens in France. What's behind all this? Tell me about this.
I think the bet of Brumoncourt is to offer something different, not obviously only on the marketing aspect. We've made a huge effort on that. But also to say we want to come back to the DNA of champagne. Champagne is not something dusty and austere and only for posh people. It's all about celebration.
Oh, there are no posh people around here. We're all,
No, definitely. But, you can have this feeling because it's very expensive.
Yes.
It's only for special occasion in the year. Champagne should be something that you drink every day with friends when you have a great, a great announcement or something to celebrate.
What's that famous quote, Lily Bollinger, isn't it? The quote that everybody says about champagne. I drink champagne when I'm happy, when I'm sad.
Yes.
You know, that one, I'm paraphrasing. I've used it before.
And I like the quote.
And then otherwise I never touch it,
No, but I also like the quote that champagne gives you the extraordinary feeling that every day is a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
I think I like that. I mean, champagne, coming from our Bruts is Brut Régence, which refers to the period in the French history between 1715 and 1723.
Now, what distinguishes the Regency period, or what's that?
The Regency period, to quickly recap that, is the buoyant and optimistic period just after this, the king's death of Louis XIV.
Yes.
And you had this period of transition before the regency of the Louis XV.
Yes.
And it was more, the rise of Parisian salon and cultural centres and literary meeting places. And
for those Aussies who can't quite get this, it's probably equivalent to the 80s in Australia, where we had a bit of excess and Sir Les Paterson was there and we won the America's Cup. And there was a little bit of joie de vivre about.
Absolutely.
And,
No, so it's Brumoncourt is all about a tribute to that.
Yes.
And to come back to the original packaging, we've made a huge effort. The giraffe wearing a military uniform is for the discipline of the winemaking.
And a military uniform for the discipline, yes.
And the giraffe can see very far. So it's the vision of the Brumoncourt house.
Yes.
And the last thing is that the giraffe is the only animal in Africa which never drink alone. And I quite like that. I think it's
never drink alone.
Never drink alone because he
needs to protect. Where was the giraffe when I was a bachelor? Yeah, I used to. Gee whiz. And of course, also it's symbolic because you're really sticking your neck out here, because it's one thing to create and revivify or breathe new life into a label, and then you've got to market it, and then you've got to make champagne consistently, vintage after vintage. It's quality and consistency. But you've also got your owners have the ambition, Alexander and Arnaud apparently, have the ambition they want to buy their own vineyards. Now that comes at an almighty price, as well as establish the winery. This is going to take decades, isn't it, to you don't just come along with a whack of money and then create a point of difference or a tradition.
No, champagne is all about time. I think we're actually working with around 30 growers to get the best grapes to create our champagne.
And where does your fruit come from? Could you tell people?
For the Chardonnay, because it's mainly focused on the Chardonnay. It's coming from the Côte des Blancs, which is the best part of champagne for that.
And those villages there are
You got classified village.
Les Menils.
La Ménil, Auger, Chouilly, yes. All this classified village.
Yes.
And we have the Pinot Noir coming from the Montagne de Reims.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously it's a big challenge, but we are currently working with the best growers to get the best quality. Mm-hmm. It's a long-term partnership with them. So
that's and then eventually you want to, but you're a, what you'd call a négociant at the moment, your status in Champagne, but you want to become a grower Champagne and have your own vineyard.
But you know,
don't
you? You know, in Champagne, 80% of the grower sell the production. On the total production, 80% is sold to the houses. So
yes.
Today
yes.
is a bit of a myth to say that a house is able to produce its own Champagne
yes.
for the worldwide demand.
Yes.
Obviously, you can have some plans, but it's not enough to.
But they do want to buy some vineyards of
yes,
their own.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely.
Yes. Well, that's a real. I suppose I use a phrase, and it's not. I wish this was an original phrase. I read it when I was studying years ago. The modernity of tradition. In other words, this is what you're all about. It's trying to be that point of difference from tradition, but not letting the tradition hold you back. And to me, your image, and I tasted some of your Blanc de Blanc yesterday, and it was pretty good, and we'll talk about your Chef de Cave, the winemaker. But you're wanting to be a little bit different in image, and because you have to be. You can't be just one of the established brands.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you'll just get swallowed up, won't you?
No, really, the ambition of Alexandre Cornot was to say, we're not going to reinvent Champagne, mm-hmm. but we really want to reinvent the way you consume Champagne. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make something classic, but with a twist of a bit of modernity
yes.
and something different.
And especially appealed to what's called the Gen Y and the millennial generation, isn't it? The younger people. Not so much for the older people. I mean,
it's true.
It's really a...
But I think, you know, the edge between something distinguished and classy
yes.
and trendy and something bling-bling
yes.
is quite subtle.
Yes.
I think Alexandre found the good balance between that. And I think we're offering a very good quality product mm-hmm. and also offering something different in terms of packaging and marketing.
And when's this going to be available in Australia? Is it November, December this year?
I'm working hard on that. It will come soon in Australia. I promise you.
Yes.
All the UZ people that it will come probably soon in end of November.
End of November. And, of course, you're going to aim to get it into what's called in the trade the on-premise market, which
yes.
is a fancy term for saying yes. in restaurants
and bars,
good bars
and wine
things
stores.
Like that.
Yes.
And then some in the probably the independent
Absolutely.
Wine stores.
Absolutely.
Yep. And tell me a little bit about yourself and your transition, because I believe I've been on your site, you're a rather good photographer. And what's someone who grew up in the Loire and was educated in business at Reims University doing as a sort of export manager or brand ambassador for Champagne? May I have a job? I mean, do they have one for the oldies?
You know, the Loire Valley is surrounded by beautiful chateaus and castles. And I think for my childhood, I've been surrounded by history.
Yes.
And you know, Champagne is probably one of the best things to represent France and its history. So I made this business school in Reims for 4 years. And
yes.
I finally said, Hugh, you need to be consistent when you study this. And you need to come back to where you studied, where you learned so many things, was in the Champagne area. And I think I'm so proud, especially for the Brimacourt brand, to represent this around the world.
But how did you get the job? I mean, you're not...
Oh, Alexandre hired his crew in a different way than the other's employees.
Yes.
I just told him, Alexandre, I'm quite happy. I'm young. I'm dynamic. I'm quite happy to develop your house wherever you want around the world. And I really wanted to go to Australia because
oh,
I
good.
Know it's a huge market.
All but, right. Well, look, we'll be back. We're going to have a very brief musical interlude, a bit late here, but I'll be back with you and to continue the journey after this short break.
a glass of Shiraz on a Friday evening, looking down from the observatory. The sun is melting in the wine dark ocean. It brings out the Australian in me. Oh yeah.
Welcome back, Hugh. You haven't aged a bit. So you were studying, and then you got to know Alex, and he offered you the job, and then you ended up in Australia.
I mean, I really need to thank him for this confidence he put in me. It's a huge challenge to develop from scratch in this house here. But
are they going to? They're not going to build it up and then leverage it or sell out to one of the big boys, are they?
Definitely not.
They're going to be around, because I think that's very important for the integrity of the brand.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? You don't want to, you know, they're not looking at it as a money making thing, surely.
Absolutely not.
They're looking at a money spending thing for the first 5 to 10 years or more.
I think Alison put his entire life to this house, and he's definitely not interested by millions coming from other big financial groups.
But he does have a partner too. I know, what's his partner's name?
He's got a director.
Yes, a director.
Whose name is Emmanuel de la Morinerie, who's doing a fantastic job.
I can't even begin to pronounce that well. Thank you.
He's the seventh generation of people working in Champagne, so he knows what he's talking about.
So, and he made his money in steel, whereas André made his money largely by being an art dealer or something.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. And I believe they've bought an old printery.
The oldest printery of the Champagne area.
Named, what's it called again?
It was...
Begins with P or something.
Yes.
I can't remember.
I have a whole...
Yeah. They bought that, and that's going to be there. And in the driveway already is a statue by Rodin,
yes,
I believe, and a few green Porsches. You don't see many green Porsches. You see green Jags, but Mark's nodding. He drives a green
Alexander is a big fan of cars.
But I think it's a green FJ, I think. Yes. Something like that. That's more. So they've arrived, and I suppose I call this doing what Walt Disney, you may not know that when Walt Disney invented Minnie and Mickey Mouse,
yes,
and created them, when he created the theme parks, he had a board. And the famous quote is, don't get me wrong here, I can't quote it exactly, but the thinking was he asked people's advice, and if they said, no, that's impossible, don't do it, you're mad, he went and did the opposite.
Yes.
Hence, you've got the Disney World Empire. Now, you're doing something a little different. I'm not saying your wines are Disneyland wines, but you're saying, and there's a quotation here, the calculations confirmed the opinion of the specialists. Our idea was unrealistic, and there was only really one thing left to do, realize it. So that's what they're doing. In other words, people in Champagne and elsewhere must have thought, well, you guys are mad for doing this.
Absolutely. Everybody told to Alexandre that he was mad, that he wouldn't be able to do that. But I think this quote from an aeronautic pioneer, definitely.
For an engineer, was it?
Yes, an engineer.
Yes. Yep.
Named Pierre-Georges Latécoère.
Yes.
I think it's a good recap of the spirit of Brimoncourt. Mm-hmm. We want to move the old buildings and to bring something new in Champagne. I think it's a huge, you need to have a huge ambition. You need to work hard. But we have a great team in AI. And and I think we already done beautiful things. And we have the ambitions to be one of the most recognized house of Champagne,
yes,
in the world soon.
Yes. Now, what styles are you making now? You've been coming to existence in 2013, so you're doing non-vintage at the moment. You're doing a Brut and a Blanc de Blanc.
And an extra
rosé,
Brut.
An extra Brut.
Yes.
And a Rosé.
We first launched, so Alexandre worked for 6 years on the wines to get really the best quality.
Mm-hmm.
And we launched the Brut in December 2013.
Yes.
And then we launched the Blanc de Blanc, the Rosé. And mm-hmm. we've just launched 3 months ago the Extra Brut, which is only made of Grand Cru.
Yes.
And which is a beautiful champagne.
I had some of that yesterday. And I'm still smiling. You know, still sort of bubbling inside. Yes. Yes, and I'm delighted to say it was served not too cold.
Not too cold, please.
You'll learn in Australia here, Hugh, that we like our, as they say in Australia, and forgive the, we like to freeze the arse off our wines, a bit like, sorry, John Elliott. But We do, we do. And we still drink our wine too cold. So that's a word of caution. If you're going to spend, say, $65 yes. or thereabouts on a beautiful bottle of Brimoncourt, don't freeze it, because you're not going to get your value no. for money. You know, no. you may as well just go and buy, you know, a $20 bottle of wine. Is that so?
So Tyson yeah. used to say, Tyson Seltzer
yeah, oh, yes.
is saying that to enjoy a non-vintage bottle of champagne, you can drink it at between 8 and 10 degrees. And for a vintage bottle, you can drink it around 10 and 12 degrees.
Doesn't get that cool around our place. There's so many arguments and ructions around our place. The temperature's up in the 20s often, but you've got to stop. And no, but you're right. And Tyson Stelzer, for those that don't know, is an Australian expert on champagne. He must have yes. been there 50 or 60 times. He writes a champagne guide every year or every 2 years. And believe you me, folks, he's a young guy, great guy. This is the definitive guide. If you want to find out about champagne and the history and the technical side and what's in the bottle, etc., I thoroughly recommend Tyson's. And I know that sounds like an ad, and I hope I'm not pulled up on this, but it is a very good book. And so that's who you're referring to. Now, you've got an expert on the ground, because you can have good fruit, but who's your chef de cave or the winemaker? Because they hold a special place in Champagne, don't they?
So we have a chef de cave named François Huret.
H-U-R-E,
yes, grave. E-T, who's making yes. a fantastic job. You yes. know, the chef de cave, his job is during the méthode traditionnelle.
Yes.
He's doing the assemblage. So
the blending, because it's blending. All about blending,
it's
isn't it?
It's all about blending. Yes. You know, the monk Dom Pérignon invented this method of adding different grapes.
Did he? Now, I'm not yes. sure he did. There's a bit of a myth. I must challenge yes. you, Hugh, about that. There was a gentleman in England who made cider, and there is some dispute.
Absolutely.
Whether,
yeah. And we said that the oldest recorded sparkling wine
yes.
was coming from Blanquette de Limoux.
Yes. That's in the
which
Loire,
was,
isn't it?
Invented by a Benedictine monk.
Yes.
In the Abbey of Saint-Hilaire.
Yes.
So in France, near Carcassonne. But there is
yes.
a bit of a myth, true, but I know that Dom Pérignon invented the way of adding different grapes to balance
yes, blending,
the wine.
Oh, yes, that's true. In
yes.
fact, he tried to keep the fizz out of champagne for
absolutely.
A long while, didn't he?
Absolutely.
And it was almost by accident. So, yes, so back to what you were saying.
Yes,
sorry,
so this blending step is the key step for champagne, and François Huret has done this fantastic job. And
yes.
the idea around Brimoncourt was to have a champagne very fresh, very
yes.
well balanced.
And it is fresh too. It's fresh on the forward
palate
with a little lemon and lime, and then the palate grows on you, and it has a complexity and a structure. It is it's a damn good wine. I think people realise, and champagne have done a great look. They are a luxury product. When you think of a luxury brand,
yes.
there's nothing that comes near champagne. For I mean, it must top the, but it's also very expensive to make and store, isn't it? You've got to have. I mean, it's got to, all this blending, and it's fiddly to make. It's not easy, is it?
It's a huge work.
Yes.
Even before the pressing for the harvest.
Yes.
You work like during September. It's actually the harvest in France.
Yes.
And then you got the pressing, the fermentation.
Yes.
The assemblage. And even the riddling. You know this
the
way.
Riddling or
the
riddling? Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
The way that you turn the bottles. And
now, is that still done by some houses do it by hand? Or they've
yes.
got these big riddling machines these days.
Obviously.
They're huge.
You can't, I mean, riddling, when you have millions of bottles, it's hard to do it with a hand. But some houses used to do it with and still continue to do it by hand.
Hmm.
We said that a riddler is able to turn around 50 to 60,000 bottles a day.
50 to 60,000. I mean,
that's
I can't even. Gee, your wrists would be. I mean, that beats a spin bowler, doesn't it, or a leggy, or an off someone bowling in cricket off breaks. 50 to 60. Gee whiz! And of course, you've got the Romans to thank in Champagne, because the Romans dug all those chalk caves. I mean, how many? There are miles and miles, or kilometres
of caves.
I mean, I've been lucky enough to been in some of them, and. You just continue into this darkness and you think you're never going to come out.
Yes.
And, of course, there's an awful lot of wine still stored under those caves.
There's millions. I don't have the exact figures.
No, I wish I had it. But
But, I mean, we need to be ready for the worldwide demand, especially coming from India or China. And that's going to be a huge challenge. But
India, China, Japan, we're, I think, the seventh largest. But then again, you've got to qualify. Australians love their champagne.
Yes.
But you've got to qualify that by what, how much we pay and what types we drink. It gets a bit complicated. But certainly the French aren't, there's the old joke. I was talking to someone the other day and they said, well, how do you tell a tourist in Paris? And I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, they're the only ones drinking wine, you know, because the French people, are, the young French people are drinking scotch or spirits or beer, or there's not the same tradition, and the same's happening in parts of Spain.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether the same's happening in Italy, but so champagne success is dependent on the quality and consistency of your house non-vintage.
Yes.
And also heavily relies on export sales, doesn't it?
I mean, obviously, the figures are quite clear. I mean, half of the bottles sold are for the export market. So obviously, yep, export is the key.
Well, yes, Hugh, I'm going to have to disgorge this now.
Oh.
Because time's up.
Time's up.
Very, very nice. Thank you very much for joining us today, Hugh.
I was very happy.
Welcome to Australia. Hope it goes well. That's about your lot for now. My research material was sourced from winebiz.com, glass of bubbly, I like that, and wine musing. This has been another Heard It Through the Grapevine. We're on Visions Australia Radio, heard on stations all around Australia via the Community Radio Network. It's cheers from me, Michael Hintz. And please drink moderately.
Heard It Through the Grapevine is a production of Vision Australia Radio. Sound information.